Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show. Woo! Mazal tov to...
Happy birthday!
Mazal tov to the State of Israel. 73 years since the rebirth of the State of Israel in this third Commonwealth. What a gift it is for the Jewish people to have a State of Israel on the land of Israel, given by the God of Israel, protected by the army of Israel, and here we are from Israel, broadcasting live for you wherever you are, and hope that you are going to be feeling that excitement as we are transitioning right now. I'm looking out the window, and it is sunsetting here, and it's exactly the transition between Israel Memorial Day, which we remember, the painful day, the Day of Tears, that we remember the 23,000 soldiers and people that fell in the wars of Israel, and the 4,000 around about 4,000 people that fell in were murdered in terrorist acts against the Jewish people in the land of Israel. So it is a sad day, and then it transitions tonight to fireworks and celebration. And for me, crying on Independence Day,
on Memorial Day.
On Memorial Day, remembering all those stories leads to the full joy of the excitement and the gratitude. The gratitude that we have on Israel Independence Day.
So, that's right.
Malka Fleischer, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Yes, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be here also on Israel's 73rd birthday. It really does feel like a birthday. And every year is such a source of pride. You know, I thought back, Yishai, to when is it that we came? This is the 73rd year, and we've been in Israel now for 18 Yom Ha'atzma'uts, I think.
Wow, that's awesome.
Is that right? Almost 19, so... Yeah, 18. So I think that we came on Israel's 55th Independence Day.
And this is 73.
And now we're at the 73rd Independence
Day. What does that say about us, Malka?
It's just, it's a source of pride for me that we can be a part of like the earlier years of the State of Israel. And when I say that, I'm talking about a country which I believe will last into the hundreds. I don't know how long time, this is like a bigger existential question about where the world is headed, but I believe it is a country that is going on for a long, 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 long time. And to think that we came, you know, when Israel, I mean, you know, we weren't among the founders of Israel, right? There are people who came and talked still about the independence war. There's still people around who remember that. But nonetheless, you know, we came in the earlier years, and I remember seeing parts of Jerusalem, for example, being built.
That's right.
That are now totally built and considered part of mainstream Jerusalem. And I remember seeing highways being built, which didn't exist there before. And now they're like big highways that everybody uses.
Here into Judea, there was a highway that opened like 4 years ago that connected the Begin, which was the kind of western north-south highway
right
in Jerusalem, connected it here to Route 60 and bring it down to Judea.
Right, and lots of organizations which have been created and lots of people who have been born and lots of communities which have grown. And just to be able to enjoy that, to be part of that, is to me such a special gift, a real privilege. And you know, it's when I celebrate the birthdays of Israel, I really feel like I'm celebrating like every year, like another... I don't know, like your kid's birthday, like your parents' birthday, like some, you know, all these milestones are very significant, I feel, in our own personal lives.
So check this out, Malka. I was in Hebron, where, by the way, I remembered a friend of mine that was murdered in Hebron, Gennady Kaufman. And so that was Israel Memorial Day. But as they were preparing for Israel Memorial Day, not celebrations, what are they called?
Commemorations.
Commemorations. I was with the head of the American branch of the FIDF, Friends of the IDF, Rabbi Stephen Weil, and an Ethiopian commander came out to greet us, and he says, today I'm 43, he says, or 41, mm-hmm. sorry, 40, 43, 43, and he says, 30 years ago, I was a shepherd in the mountains of Ethiopia, and then we walked across the Sudan to the land of Israel, and today I am a commander making sure to remember those who fell for the state of Israel.
That's amazing. And I don't think I've ever heard that story.
That happened just yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
It happened yesterday. Wow. It happened yesterday. And I didn't get a picture of him, which I was like, what is wrong with me?
You were so like in shock probably that you couldn't even think.
Yeah, I was just concentrating on the special guest from the FIDF, but he gave us the story and I'm like, wow. And you could see it. It was like, wow. Let me tell you, 30 years ago, I was a young boy shepherd in the mountains of Ethiopia. So that was really amazing. Malka, our kids gave us a few props to show everybody. Okay, here's a prop right here. Okay, here's a prop.
Yes.
And it says, I love Israel. And it's actually a grogger from Purim, but it's got the flag of Israel. And I just want you to know that it's really fun to kind of like do it up. And we're going to be going to our good friends. Our good friend Ilana right now is online. She says, shouldn't you be flipping burgers right now? We will be flipping burgers with you, Ilana.
Yes, with you. And just a little bit after we get done with this show.
And
we got our friends from around the world who are celebrating with us. And the truth is that I feel it. I really feel that you guys are.
So go ahead, speak it out.
I feel that. What do you mean, speak it out?
Tell people what people are saying.
Okay, well, we have Erica Nordstrom, who is saying Chag Yom Ha'atzmut Chaverim with tons of awesome flags. And we have Elvia Cruz saying Happy Independence Day. We got Yitzi Kasowitz. You guys are amazing. Thank you for sharing and educating us. Mazel Tov on 18 on 73 and on to many more.
That's Jay Brick. That's great Jewish Lego sets made by Yitz. I want to order some more. He had some great ones for Pesach. And he's got a Beit HaMikdash one. Okay, so that's what we're going to be hoping for this Independence Day today. Like you said, it's going to exist for a lot of years. This thing is going to Mashiach.
That's right.
Okay, this is towards.
But the point is, Mashiach could be soon. Is what I'm saying.
This is for global redemption.
That's right.
And today I stood at my friend Yinon's incredible 20th floor apartment in Jerusalem.
We remember when that building was being built.
That's right. And
And we were like, whoa. That's like by far the tallest building in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And now it's like an institution.
It's just looking onto the Temple Mount and you're like, this is going to happen. This is going to happen in our lifetime, hopefully.
We got Nicola Demoli saying, Mazel Tov, Lisa Weber. Chag Sameach. Wish we could be there with you from Chutz La'aretz.
Well, you are there with us in the magic of technology. Isn't that awesome? And that's why we're doing the show, really. That's why we're doing the show in English here on Facebook so that you can be there with us.
That's right.
And let us...
We could be flipping those burgers, but
right.
We just wanted to share this special moment with you because we know that you want to be a part of Israel's Independence Day and all the great events.
And that's such an important point. It's a global movement. And it's not just... yes, it's awesome here. Honestly, it's awesome to celebrate it here. But like right now... I want to recommend everybody that's part of it to raise a flag, put the flag in the window, like get it out there and say, I stand with Israel. And you will feel such a liberation. You'll feel such
a
light.
A little lapel pin.
Yeah, just something that says like today is a big deal
you
day.
You could change your Facebook profile.
A good friend of ours, let's put it that way, sent me today some work stuff. Some I'm looking to hire some people. And I'm like, I didn't write back to them, but I'm like, wrong day, bro. That's not what this is about. And let's put it out there. Let's go crazy.
Well, you know, maybe that person was thinking to themselves, I'm out here building,
right,
making jobs,
right,
and building the state of Israel, and I'm never going to stop. Maybe that's
right.
What they were thinking.
Okay.
Elizabeth Aguayo Perez says, Mazel Tov from Puerto Rico. God bless Israel.
The other shining star, Puerto Rico. Okay,
great. We got
great.
Ann Gibson, Chag Sameach from Hove, UK.
Lisa Weber says, my son and daughter-in-law are in Karnei Shimron, Mazal Tov, and of course, the immutable, when the immutable Lou is with us, he says, Happy Yom Ha'atzmaut, Malka Nishai, and our good friend Johan Bilu says, Happy Independence Day, Israel. God bless the Jewish state. Wishing Rabbi Yishai and family Yom Ha'atzmaut Sameach from Indian, a resident in Oman.
Wow, amazing.
So I want to tell you that I have a arch enemy / frenemy out there in the world. His name is Isa Amru.
He is not your frenemy.
Well, he is my frenemy in the sense that we're like friendly enemies. We're friendlemies. He's a spokesman for the jihadism of Hebron.
And
that's right. And so he wrote to me just now. He's like, look at this video that came out. Israel's abusing the Palestinians. What do you say about that, Yishai Fleischer? You're a settler leader and you're all this kind of stuff. And it's so obvious to me that people like him, they are masters of popping balloons. When he was a kid, he popped balloons. That's what he does because he's an expert at popping balloons. And what I mean by that,
this is like a Nakba moment for people.
I forgot about celebrating the Nakba.
You know, it's Israel Independence Day, and I thought to myself, you know what's crazy? Okay, today the kids had a shorter day at school, so I wanted to occupy them. Get it? Occupy them. Anyway, I wanted to occupy the kids for a little while.
Wait, I didn't finish my Maisa Amra story.
Oh, sorry.
I'll get you right back, okay?
Okay.
First thing, Nakba, I just want to say, for us, the rebirth of the Jewish people in the land of Israel is not a tragedy. The word Nakba means tragedy. I do want to say, though, that those people that suffered because their Arab leaders told them to run away from their homes, and they were willing to accept the Jewish people in the land of Israel and not fight with us but accept us, and indeed were forced out of their homes or had to run away mostly because the Arab leaders told them to do so, I respect the pain that some people may have felt and the discomfort and other things that happened through the rebirth of the Jewish state. It just like our soldiers have died in wars for it, some other people have suffered as well. And I want to just say, I can certainly recognize other people's pain. However, if that whole narrative of Nakba is there in order to knock us out of here.
What, okay? The word Nakba means disaster. What other purpose could the Nakba narrative have?
No, because you could say that there are some people who, for them, it was a tragedy, it was a disaster. Okay, I'm just saying, for us, of course, it's a great day of celebration. And I say L'chaim on Nakba Day, you know? But at the same time, I'm trying to say that I can recognize other people's pain, but recognize that most of the time the Nakba narrative is not about people's pain, but about getting rid of us. I wanted to say about Isa Amru is that's what he did today. He tried to.
I think Israel has been the best thing that's happened to the Middle East. And for anyone to call the creation of Israel a Nakba is just not. That person is not trying to suggest that they're having personal pain. That person is trying to suggest that they're having some kind of a greater, larger existential nationalist pain. And I reject that.
I want to say that if there's been people that have been hurt through the process of the birth of the state of Israel, I can recognize that and want to make amends as much as possible, as long as it doesn't undermine the greater thing, which is the rebirth of the Jewish state in the land of Israel. I have no problem giving decent people opportunities to live in this land and to move forward. And so Johann Bilo George...
Are the same decent people who are calling Israel Independence Day a Nakba?
No, most of those are not. Okay, 99.9% of the people who call this thing a Nakba are either enemies of Israel or have been taught to hate Israel. And so here's the point. On Twitter, Isa Amru, my frenemy, my N-friend, or N-friend, whatever it is, he started writing and posting all kinds of videos, and I knew that he wanted to pop the balloon of our celebration.
Right.
And I wrote to him back. I was like, I was going to write to him, you know, something mean. And then I just wrote to him, "Dear Palestinians and regional Arabs who want peace with Israel and who want the blessings of a blessed region, may we succeed in making an Abrahamic and Semitic region that coexists through a strong Israel and strong Arab states working together in cooperation." That's my message. Right. I didn't even answer him. I'm like, we can work together to make this whole region blessed.
There's such an ethos right now. It's not like that's a ridiculous pipe dream. There's such an energy going on right now, especially with the Abraham Accords. It really shows that there is a will, and there's a will not just also on like a financial level, although there's that. There's definitely a will on the cultural level.
Right. That's right.
And you know, you and I, Ishai, were on Twitter, right? And you're talking about Isa Amru on Twitter. But on Twitter, you can see like there's such a love fest
right
going on between certain members of the Israeli community and certain members of the Arab world. And it's like, I believe that it's really blossoming and there's evidence to support that, according to all the people who are
absolutely
in those places.
Absolutely. And my point was to bypass his vile and vitriol and to talk to the people who actually see this thing as from Allah and a blessing for this region and certainly for the Jewish people. And now I'm going to take a sharp turn, and I want to get back to your story that you started saying. I just want to take a sharp turn and say, my story, Israel, isn't always about the Palestinians. For us,
it's
this
usually
is
a, not about
right.
The
it's a great rebirth, and it's something amazing that's happening in our time. And I have also friends. By the way, I just want to say, Matthew Zucker says, first Yom Ha'atzmaut as an Israeli.
Oh, Mazel Tov! I wish I had like a kazoo or something.
Here you go, Matthew. God bless you, L'chaim
Mazel Tov. We're so happy that you're here, Baruch Hashem.
That's amazing. And I really want to, that's so great. You know, Matthew, He took the step. He's here to celebrate it. And really, Mazal Tov, after such a tricky year, so great to have you celebrating with us. I just want to say one thing from my Israeli Jewish friends, who today I had a friend who said to me, well, why did the secular people, you know, make the state? And he is being very influenced, you know, in 99% of the time, he's influenced by Chabad in an amazing way. And I myself pray with Chabad often and very close to Chabad. But he did not understand, like, where is the Zionism from? And I said to him, listen, the real deep truth is that God, this is his redemption. This is his way. And he decided that one of the things that the Jewish people needed so badly was, in order to be re-embodied in this land, we needed the characteristic trait of action. We needed action, i.e. having a military, farming, rebirth of the Hebrew language, a strong Jewish economy, et cetera, a Jewish state. We needed that characteristic trait, which had been bred out in the diaspora, and we needed to breed it back in through even extreme measures. And those extreme measures meant pausing Judaism, classic Judaism, Talmudic Judaism, Rabbinic Judaism, Biblical Judaism, put that on pause, reconstruct physical Judaism, action Judaism, and then let it back in to what its natural mode is, which is a hybrid of those two things. Now, we lived through a time where this call it secular Zionism was the mainstay, but Judaism is coming back so strongly into this country, and those things are being hybridized, if there's such a word. And so that's what God wanted to see happen, and we're seeing it happen in our time. We have to embrace that secular side for being the action side. We have to embrace the Judaism. We don't have to say anymore, I'm Jerusalem but not Tel Aviv. I'm Tel Aviv but not Jerusalem. No, there's a super fast train that takes 26 minutes between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv and back. Like, we are united as a people, reunited. And the same goes to our diaspora friends. We could be like, oh, you have to live here. Oh, you know, if you're not living here, then you're not part of it. No. We are all on a global movement, a quest to come back together, to build this land. And it's happening. Let us share the love. Let's share this excitement. Let's share the energy and build this thing together.
That's awesome, Yishai.
Okay, what's your story?
We got more people. Oh, so my story. I just want to share a few more comments here. We got Esther Ben Chilk, who says, you guys rock. Chag Ha'atzma'ut Sameach. We got our good friend Annie Kadosh Ornstein.
Yeah.
Chag Sameach.
God bless you, Annie, and the whole family. We love you so much. You guys are incredible.
Johan, again, is saying, Be'ezrat Hashem, God will surely do a miracle upon the enemies of Israel, and they would soon praise the Jewish state, which is only a blessing for the world. Israel is a country of peace and coexistence.
And a country of blessing. And that's what I say to my Arab friends all the time. You want to bless Israel, you will get one of my favorite words in the Arab-Israeli conflict, barakeh. Blessing, blessing. It's time for blessings. And that blessing is going to come through blessings and not through fighting and curses. Isa Amru, he's a storehouse of endless conflict. He doesn't want peace. He makes his money from war. He makes his money from conflict. And so he's just not the man of our time anymore. People like him are passé. You are so passé. Okay.
We got Dan Rinsler. Hey, Yishai, great to hear your dulcet tones. Look at you.
What's dulcet? A dulcet?
Sweet, melodious, like dulce de leche, you know? Oh. Ice cream. Dulcet tones, and hear you and Malka, great team. Yom Ha'atzma'ut Sameach.
Stop it. You're making me blush.
Okay, okay. And we got Shannon Newsom.
But today I blush
blue and white. Y'all. Well, Chag Sameach back at you as well.
And you know what? Shannon Newsom represents the West, like people coming in from the Western traditions, yes. From Christian traditions, from European traditions. And Johan represents the East and Oman and himself.
Right, Eastern spirituality, right. And Eastern traditions. Right.
And I have a friend, a good friend, who's a very smart guy, and he, like, his face is towards the Islamic world, and he totally rejects the Christian world. And I say to him, we have to have a face towards the world today, like from the Christian world, from the West. You know, people are like, Israel, what are you about? And from the East, they're like, Israel, what you're about? And people want our light. They want us to share the light.
We gotta have the dulcet tones. Yeah, we gotta have towards everybody.
That's right. And it's time to feel. And I say to my friend, I'm like, you actually radiate a lack of confidence when you speak that way, because you're like, I don't want to talk to these people. Forget about it, man.
I think that there's some people who do not feel so confident, Yishai, and I don't exactly blame those people.
I understand.
We're still, you know, Israel is still, you talk about, we don't have to, like, you know, whoa, we don't have to say I'm Jerusalem and not Tel Aviv, or I'm Tel Aviv and not Jerusalem. And I really appreciate that sentiment. And I think that there's a place in which you're right. But I think that there's a place in which you're wrong, meaning to say that I think that, like, we have a political situation in Israel today, which is so much about that very issue. What are we? Are we Jerusalem or Tel Aviv? And of course, there's some people who want to be able to integrate both of those things. But there's some people who are like, we shouldn't integrate those things. We should choose. Let's be Jerusalem. And there's some people who say, no, we should choose. Let's be Tel Aviv.
You know what, though? When you go to Tel Aviv today, do you feel comfortable?
I haven't been to Tel Aviv in a while. But I don't feel uncomfortable.
I love it there. And I'm thinking to myself, and I see so many people are interested in Judaism. For example, here on Yom HaZikaron, I heard a lady who says right from the start, she goes, I'm not religious. She's talking about her, I think it was her young husband who was killed in one of the wars. And she's like, I'm not religious. When a person says that right up front, you know that they have deep religious feelings. She's like, I'm not religious, but I lost my husband and we couldn't find his body. And then she went on to talk about how rabbis and religious people helped her find and identify her husband's body so she can have peace and be comforted. She said, you can't be comforted if you don't know where that body is. And she went to talk about...
You heard this on the radio?
Yes, you know me. I listen to this.
They have incredible radio programming all day long on Israel Memorial Day. Sometimes I feel bad. I'm not living in all countries of the world, but sometimes I feel a little bad for other countries because we do Memorial Day and Independence Day with such a fullness and such a big heart that I feel sorry for other countries who don't.
Yeah, everybody should do Memorial Day in a way that's not just shopping and sales. Everybody should just stop and really honor the people that fell. For me, I find that crying on Memorial Day and really feeling it is just my way to honor them. And I like an Anglo phrase, which is, "We honor your sacrifice." I like that. I like that phrase a lot. You know what I mean? We honor your sacrifice. And sometimes when you cry with them. And you know what? If you've ever lost somebody, I remember when I lost...
Well, the thing is, though, in Israel, Ishai, there is no them.
Right.
There's really only us.
Right. But still,
so you cry with us.
That's true. You're right. But still, though, you know, Malka...
You're right. If it's not your family member and you're not, totally... You're crushed by Memorial Day, then you're not an us.
I'll give you one example, Malka. I'm very connected because I was born... when the day that the Entebbe plane was taken and my circumcision was on the day of the liberation. I'm very connected to that story. Today, for the first time, I heard about three people who were killed. I knew that there was the lady that was in the hospital, in the Ugandan hospital, that was murdered.
Right.
And we all know that Yoni died. But I didn't know that in the crossfire, three people were killed.
I didn't know that.
Some of them by our fire.
What, Jews in the, hostages?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, there were three people killed. And you know what one of the ladies said? She goes, I'm tired. She's like, Yoni for me is a malach, Yoni Netanyahu, that was the commander of that unit.
An angel.
He's an angel. But I'm tired of people not knowing that my father fell in this thing.
Right.
And so what it means is when you cry with someone, and I cried. And I thought to myself, okay, I gave this lady what she deserved, which is
to shed a tear and think of her
and
father.
And they, all three of them, all three family members were like, this was an amazing thing. The Entebbe rescue. But we lost our loved ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was just for a second, giving people that thing. And
the recognition.
And when you
for their incredible sacrifice and their pain, basically what you're talking about, people's pain.
And when you honor the sacrifice, then you could celebrate with full gusto.
Right.
Because you're like you gave, because it didn't come free. This thing. It didn't come free. People put their lives and continue to put their lives on the line. Malka, I want you to get to the statistics that are important. But before we do, I just want to read a few more comments. Maisie says, I finally stumbled upon you two guys live. Love you both. Thanks, Maisie. God bless you. God bless you wherever you are. Our good friend Benji says, my family were Holocaust survivors and pioneers, built Gan Shmuel and lived in Judea and Samaria. They lived with the Palestinians and hired them on our farms. The Nakba was not my family's fault. Stand with those who stand with you. All right, very good, Benji. Thank you. And there's so much more complexity. We're not going to deal with all the question of the Nakba and all that today in a deep way. And I don't think we should, because I think today's a day of celebration. And at the same time, But there is a place to contemplate who got hurt, how we can fix it up, you know what I mean, how we can make it the best. But I also agree with what you said, which is at the end, the rebirth of Israel is great for the Middle East and great for the world and certainly a protection for the Jewish people and God's promise to Abraham. Lisa says, celebrating with gusto and meaning. It's personal. You bet it is. You're absolutely right. And Anna Kristen Banks says, Mazel Tov, and has a lot of hearts and flags of Israel. And I appreciate that. I want you to put your flags of Israel not just on social media and on comments, which is great, and we appreciate it, but also put it out your window and show people your pride. Show people that's your menorah today. Today's like Hanukkah. Today's like, you know, the mitzvah is, you know, show that
display
flag.
Display the miracle.
Display the miracle, and certainly display it inside your own heart. Malka, tell us a little bit about the stats.
Speaking of the miracle.
Yeah.
Here's a few statistics for Israel's 73rd Independence Day. Now, what's our population? Our population is 9,327,000 people with, 1.5% population increase rate this year of an additional 137,000 new citizens. And they're anticipating that by Israel's 100th birthday, that we will have a whopping 15.2 million citizens, which is going to be something else.
Wait a second. So let's go back. So you're saying we have almost 9.5 million residents, people living in this land. Okay. Is that right?
That's our population. The population of Israel is 9,327,000 people.
Right. Okay.
That's our population. 74% are Jewish, 21% are Arab, and 5% are Christians, which are not considered Arabs, Christian non-Arabs. There were 167,000 babies born this year.
167,000 babies.
That's a whole lot of babies.
That is a lot of formula. and diapers.
Not all the, yeah, diapers for sure.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Around 50,000 Israelis passed away this year.
Mm.
But let's compare. The first Independence Day in 1948.
Wait. So 167,000 babies?
Yes.
And 50,000 people. So it's a net positive right there just in population
right,
growth
of 117,000 mm-hmm. people. Right. Mm-hmm. Of just births and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
On Israel's first Independence Day, in 1948, there were 806,000 people living in Israel. 82% of the residents were Jewish. So our percentage has gone down by, 8 percentage points in the last 73 years, which is interesting.
But the overall population is more than a factor of 10.
Right.
So it's a humongous.
Right, we have grown by tremendous numbers.
Yep.
Baruch Hashem. During all these years, 3.3 million immigrants have come into Israel, and 1.5 million of them, almost half of them, basically since 1990.
So I want to stop on that for just 1 second, Malka. My beloved sister, who made Aliyah and lives in Israel today, thank God, she told me that she said that Yom HaZikaron, Israel Memorial Day, was not so simple for her because she did not take part in the army.
Right.
And so that whole language and the whole, there's a lot of cultural baggage around that.
Right.
And she's like, I don't feel connected. I even feel a little bit sometimes off on that. And I said to her, that's why I wanted to create Aliyah Day, which was Israel Immigration Day, celebrating Israeli immigration to the land of Israel, because specifically that is your heroism. That is your fight. That is the
That's
thing that you've
gave.
Done. That's right. That's
right.
What you gave. And that is just so important that people who came here and overcame obstacles to come here, that's what they gave. I mean, in another ways, I wish we also had, a way to celebrate all the diaspora that is part of the story, supports Israel and is fighting for it in other ways and financially and visiting and sending their children. Carl
Bjorn Nygaard.
He says shalom from Norway.
Stavanger, Norway.
I want to say thank you very much for that. And I want to say that I am way more connected to Norway than I was before today. Way more connected to Norway. Why is that? Because I saw the show on Netflix that I couldn't put down for a while called Occupied. It's about when like Russia, together with the EU, occupy Norway to force Norway to continue their
fossil fuel
production.
And
I am now a quasi Norwegian. I speak Norwegian now.
How many Norwegian words do you know?
I know the word for war.
That's the only one we managed to figure out.
What is it?
Krieg.
Yeah, Norwegian. So I watched
because that was a big theme
word, yeah.
In the show.
It, hey, Norway is definitely, they put out a great show. Season three was not so good, but season one and two were incredible. And so I'm like way more like, you know, Norwegian than I was before. I had left nothing to do with Norway. Now I'm like, except for Oslo, which was like not such a good thing. But so anyway, Carl, God bless you. And thank you for saying shalom and God bless Norway. Yeah, Malka.
I just want to go back to our stats here for a second and say that Israel is a very young country. 28% of our population is under the age of 14 years old.
28% of Israelis are under 14.
Like, I wonder what that number is if you go to like 16 or 18.
Right. It's a young country.
Only 12% are older than 65.
Wow. Holy moly. Which is
surprising, really.
That's a crazy way of putting it. Only 12% are older than 65. Wow.
So that really means that 60% of Israel's population is aged 15 to 64.
I feel like it's important to therefore know how to talk to young people. I think that's pretty important. I'm going to keep practicing talking to young people because
go start now.
Yeah, because
man,
because
this show ain't whack. How'd
you
I do?
Nailed it, Maka. You really talked to young people. That was very good. What else? Any other stats, Maka?
That's what I got. Those are all my stats. They're basically saying that they think that Israel by 2030 will be at 11.1 million people, 2040, 13.2 million. And then on our 100th birthday, they anticipate that we'll be at 15.2 million people. Mm. And boy, I wonder, you know, our kids were talking to me about Israel's 100th birthday and they were telling me how old they're going to be at Israel's 100th birthday, which means that we should also think about how old we're going to be at Israel's 100th birthday.
Well, it's how
I
many?
Hope
it's,
we'll, I hope we'll be there for
is that 27 years from now?
Yes.
Yes, that's not so bad.
I think we could hopefully pull that off.
We'll sail right in on one of our yachts.
Kale.
Okay. We'll eat kale.
Yeah.
Speaking of kale, God is really behind this whole thing. I got to tell you that Hashem has really done an amazing thing here, and we're really also seeing as I haven't said this in a long time, but I say this in my speeches sometimes. I say, you know, when you look around Israel, you see two things. You see cranes and pregnant women, you know, and it's still true. You really see a lot of cranes these days and a lot of pregnant women. And those are markers of hope. And I really feel like when I stood today, Malka, over Yerushalayim on the 20th floor, looking over Yerushalayim, it's like, wow, wow, wow. Like this thing is really happening. And there's nothing like seeing like such a metropolis. And that metropolis just shines to the world. It's just shining to the world. And at the same time, I also remembered another story that happened a few years ago. I wanted to tell you. I remembered some stories.
Okay.
Here's a little story.
And then we should let people go so that they can get on with their Independence Day celebrations.
Look what Lisa Weber says. She says, Bunim and Bonim.
Nice.
Okay? Which are sons and builders. I like that. Bunim and Bonim. That's really cool.
Yeah, good one.
And Dan Rizler puts up a story about Entebbe's Forgotten Dead.
Very nice.
That's good.
On Tablet Magazine.
That's right. Very good. Anyway, Dan remembers also Entebbe. But I want to tell you a little, speaking of Entebbe, I want to tell you a little story. One time I was giving a speech in Toronto, and there was a guy sitting in the front row who was Israeli living in Toronto, and he was, I would even say he was a bit of a heckler. He was like kind of like interrupting me often, and he would make snide little remarks
snarks.
And little snarks. But I immediately saw that he was a good guy, and that he was interested in what I was saying, and that he had a lot of understanding, as a lot of Israelis do, but he would interrupt me a lot. But I never got angry with him. I wasn't like, please, can you stop, or anything like that. I was like, I made a joke. I'm like, you're right. Let me keep going. And then we got to the story about, we talked about the ultra-Orthodox. And somebody asked, well, are the ultra-Orthodox going to be part of the state? And I answered, yes, you know, they're working more today. They're more involved today. And they're, you know, there's more of an intersection than there was in the past. And this guy broke out and he goes, my brother did not die as a pilot in the Six-Day War for these people to be anti-Zionist. And you know what I did? I Hashem put a smartness in my brain for a second there. And I just stopped the speech and I was like, I want everybody to just not talk about the topic for a second, but realize what just happened. This gentleman who's been like interrupting me throughout this whole speech, do you realize the pain that he carries, that the heroism of his brother to be a pilot, and the loss, and the pain that you carry with that. Like, there's so much.
And how badly he just wants that to be for something
right
good.
Meaningful. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Malka. That's right. You're totally right. And I was just like, and do you recognize that amongst us sit people with this, that carry this, you know, and let us honor that. And he was very moved. This is the reality guy. He was very moved. He was very moved. He was just like, you know, and instead of like it being like a moment, like, you know, I'm angry, so I'm yelling out this thing. It was like, no.
He really needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a catharsis that came out. And, you know, his brother was a hero.
Right.
You know, his brother was a hero. And Mamash really, really liked that. What else, Malka? Anything else?
I did another story.
That was the story.
That was your story?
That was the story. The story about the Toronto guy.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, it is a good story. It's a moving story. Speaking of...
There were a lot of stories. There were so many stories. And that's what Memorial Day is really about in the media. They tell story after story after story after story. And songs. And the only little story that I was going to tell way back in the when you were talking about this Nakba question, which I really don't think is a question for Israel Independence Day. But nonetheless, I was listening to the radio on the way to take this kids to this like little petting zoo here in Judea. And I was at a place where the radio station was like a little spotty and it would switch from one radio, you know, the reception was switching from one radio station to the other. And the radio station I had tuned into was playing like sad Memorial Day songs. And the radio station that it switched to was like a local Arab station that was like singing like these like tough Arab marching type songs. And it was like switching like sad music, Arab song, sad music, tough Arab song, sad music. And I was just like, wow, like, this is a real intersection right now. Like, here I am on the road in Judea. This is like a real intersection between the Jewish ethos and like the Jewish story and the Arab story and the fight that still continues today. And I think that one of the reasons that Memorial Day is so significant in Israel is not just because people lost people and continue, God forbid, and it should never happen again, that we should ever lose one single person to war or to terrorism. But the fact of the matter is that we are still in a war for Israel.
Right.
Baruch Hashem, Hashem has made us strong, and everyone around the world can see that we're strong, and Iran can see that we're strong, and Mahmoud Abbas can see that we're strong, and Khalid Mashal can see that we're strong, and everyone, and Abdullah, King Abdullah can see that we're strong. Everyone can see that we're strong. And there's a less of an inclination today to like march a bunch of tanks up to Israel's border. But like, let's not kid ourselves. We're still in a war for Israel's existence, and people still can understand deep inside. You know, I think that there's some countries which feel themselves to be so secure that Memorial Day doesn't touch that place of gratitude inside because they like take it for granted, right? They take it for granted. But here in Israel, we can't take it for granted, and we know it. And I think that that's one of the reasons that it still manages, that Memorial Day still manages to be a really important day. And Independence Day, of course. And here we are. We're now like full on into Israeli Independence Day.
As the show was happening, the sun has set.
The sun came down and
it's now 8 p.m. It's the official switchover.
And so I want to wish all of you out there happy 73rd Israel Independence Day.
Yishai Mazel Tov. Thank you very much. Don't make me cry.
Mazel Tov.
I get a little emotional about it.
Well, this is our thing, man.
Yeah, this is our thing.
This is like,
that's
right. We love this beautiful little stinking weird country with all of its craziness and its 20.
And its politics.
Yeah,
and its,
what election are we going to? I don't know if we're going to or not going to.
Because it's exciting to build something and it's
but
exciting.
Who cares? Who cares? It's, we have our beautiful country and
that's right.
It's going to be great.
But it's also a global mission. It's also the revelation. See, it all intertwines. It's organic. It also intertwines with God's vision. So, to end off the show now, I just want to say, let us consider how we're going to celebrate it around the world. In Israel tonight, there will be fireworks, and tomorrow
that's going to be soon. We got to stick our heads out the window.
Right. And tomorrow will be barbecues. Okay. That's what we do. Okay. In here in Israel. And it's gatherings of friends and families and togetherness. And it's a day of really happiness and celebration and friends. So that's how we do it. I would like to recommend a few things. Number one, I want you to raise your glass of wine. I
or
hope
beer. You maybe got some Gold Star out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. I hope that you have some kind of Israeli liquid. Okay,
Israeli liquid.
That's right. I hope that you have something like that. If you don't, like if you have a rock from Israel, just drop it at the bottom of a cup and fill it up with water. Okay, something
shake
like that. Yeah, shake it up. Oh my gosh!
I don't know if I can officially recommend that.
That reminded me of a story.
This has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
You know, speaking of not approved by the Food and Drug Administration, I just remembered a story that I read so many years ago. There was two rabbis who were learning together for many years, and then one rabbi got sick, and the other rabbi decided it was time to leave for the land of Israel. So the rabbi who was sick called in the rabbi that was moving to the land of Israel, his friend, and he said, I want you to do me a strange favor. I want you to see that cup of water that I put in front of you. I want you to put that in your mouth, and I want you to spit it back out into this cup. So the guy's like, he's like, no questions, just do it. So the guy took the water in his cheeks and he spat it back out into the cup. The rabbi who was sick grabbed that cup and drank it. And the rabbi who was moving to Israel was like, why did you do that? He's like, because the waters of the land of Israel heal. And since you've already decided to be a person of the land of Israel, you already have those rivers flowing through you. And I wanted that. And that is healing waters. And he was healed indeed.
Wow, wow, wow.
And that reminds me that we're in the new month of Iyar, which stands for Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer. So back to the question of how to celebrate it. First thing, I want you to pick up your glass and I want you to concentrate and I want you to bless Hashem for the miracles that he has done in his revelation. And I want you to remember the gratitude for all the people that through strength and through self-sacrifice have made it all happen. You've got to be able to fuse both of the people and the actions with Hashem's giving us that strength to do that. That's a key thing to do. Other way is to decorate. I want you to go to your printer. If you don't have any decorations up and you feel it, go to your printer and print it. You know what I mean? Just print it up.
Or just get out your blue magic marker.
Get out your. That's right. Make
just
it. Make
yourself a little.
Take a white piece
flag,
of paper.
Put it on your desk.
Yeah.
That's make
right.
a little sticker.
That's right. And add the words Baruch Hashem on your flag. Okay. Both those things are true. Take those steps. If you can barbecue with us, barbecue with us. Another way to do it, which is
or, you know, even if you can't, you know, you're walking down the street, you're at, you know, 26th Street, there's a Starbucks. You're like, I'm going to get myself that good Frappuccino that I like, the good one, the expensive one. I'm going to get myself a Frappuccino and I'm going to say L'chaim, like I'm giving myself this treat for Israeli Independence
Nice.
Day.
Another way to do it is music. It's easy. Just type into YouTube. Just be like Israeli music or Independence Day music. Or if you want, you could even tune into Israeli radio. When I'm in America, I listen to Israeli radio a lot of times. That's an easy way to do it. Tune into Gal Galatz, and you'll hear tons of Zionistic Israel music for Israel Independence Day. So those are ways to just fill it up. And of course, we have a special prayer. Remind me that I have to take out my special siddur.
Right, a special Israel Independence Day prayer
that's right,
book.
That's right. And many of us have the custom, including the Rabbinate of Israel, to say Hallel today, the Hallel prayer. There's a discussion whether it's with a blessing, without a blessing. I'm not getting into it. Just time to bless God and to thank him for the miracles. That is very much part and parcel of how we celebrate today. My good friend Benji writes, I'm tuning into my Bedouin brothers live stream of Negev fireworks. So there's a
neat.
There's also many other communities that live here in the land of Israel underneath the state of Israel who are celebrating. And Scott Jacobs, a good friend of mine, says happy holiday from your friends at YouTube. YouTube is a website with tons of Jewish content, which Scott Jacobs runs. So there's people from all over the world that are cropping up Malka. And Zeus, I want to wish you a big Mazal Tov, Malka.
Mazal Tov. And may we be here to celebrate many more happy Israel Independence Days with you guys out there listening around the world and with all of our sweet brothers and sisters here in the beautiful land of Israel.
Todah rabah to all of you. Big Mazal Tov. May it give you strength. May you feel the strength wherever you are around the world. May it be an inspiration for you. And just do me one favor. Don't take it like another day. You know, it's something, you know what I mean? Make it into something. And we're going to keep going with this holiday all the way to Yom Yerushalayim, Jerusalem Day. Before that, Lag BaOmer, which is the return of the Kabbalah into our lives. And then all the way to the, in many ways, the apex of this whole period, which is Shavuot, the receiving of the Torah, and living the Torah life here in the land of Israel. So thank you very much, everybody. And Scott says, he says, Chazak baruch to Yishai and Malka, who live the Zionist dream, who have the schut,
that's
who have
right.
the merit to live it, and who have the schut to also share it with the world.
That's
and
a big schut.
And a good friend of mine, Shlomo Gera, also says, Happy Independence Day from Hebron. And he reminded me, by Shlomo's accessing right now and commenting, he reminded me that there's also Jerusalem Liberation Day, and the next day,
right.
Hebron Liberation Day.
The party
day.
Just keeps going.
The party
this
just keeps going.
This is our month of fun.
This is our month of great blessing and gratitude right. with these national holidays. Maka, I am officially hungry.
Yes. because so, we got chicken wings. We got some pulled beef.
That's good.
Hamburgers.
Yes, I want.
I made some of my famous potato salad.
I want a full burger.
Special.
I want the full thing.
Yeah, with tomatoes, pickles, onion, a little ketchup, mayo, mustard.
Right, but I want the pickles on the side. Okay, fine. That's all I'm asking for. It's not a
fine.
Lot to ask for here, so that's all I'm asking
fine.
For. And let's finish up. Also, shalom, shalom, and mazel tov from the Mitten, Michigan in the USA. What does the mitten mean? I don't understand what that means.
I don't know. It's cool. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it looks like a glove.
Oh.
It's a little mitten.
It's over. I didn't know about that. Well, from the mitten, we say shalom, okay? We wave back at you. And one more time, Malka, a little...
That's right. Oh, where's your balloon?
My balloon. Oh, my gosh. Here it is right here. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, balloon through the wires. There he goes.
Can you see it?
Whoa, it's doing cool stuff with the green screen. Wait, where's the...
There it is.
Do it for me, Malka. Come on. Whoa, there it is. Here you go. That's right. Blow up balloons. Have fun. Teach your kids about your love.
That's
and
right.
that's it.
Do something good for the kids. Get them a slice of pizza today.
That's right.
They'd be whatever like, it is you got to do.
Just be the kids will be like,
or be
what?
Like kids. We're grilling
oh,
out.
Oh, there's the Nathaniel fireworks.
Nathaniel fireworks
I
out
see
our window. All right. We're going to go see them live. Nice
right,
being with you guys.
God bless you wherever you are. Stay
Mazalto.
Tuned. Stay strong. Shalom. Write me an email. Yishai@yishaifleischer.com or yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Brachot. Blessings from the land of blessings. Happy birthday, Israel, and shalom.
Shalom.
With global instability on the rise, more and more people are turning to God, realizing now they don't exactly know where to look for guidance. The Bible says the guidance will come from the land of Israel. My name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. What you will discover is that the wisdom transmitted thousands of years ago is speaking directly to us in our time right now. Join now and get an audio series on the prophecy encoded in the book of Joshua, absolutely for free. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com. I don't know how you found this video or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence, and I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the land of Israel. I hope to see you at the Land of Israel Fellowship. Shalom.